Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking Pollocks. It's a very special episode. An episode that we've had to split into many different episodes because it was so long and we did many talkings for our manifesto special. We're going to be splitting the policy areas up, making it a little bit easier for you to read. Might be a little bit of a delay between the episodes coming out, but hey-ho, at least you'll have a few more episodes to listen to this week. Thank you for your understanding. Open your ear canals and start listening, baby. We all knew this one was coming. Brace yourself, buttercup. It's time for Talking Pollocks. With me, Criff. Sean's here as well.
Hey.
Now, apologies in advance. We'll try to make this as fun as we can.
Whoop, whoop.
Next up is the economy. Episode 6.
Buzzing.
Manifesto Destiny.
Who doesn't love the economy? It's my favourite part.
It's your favourite part. I'm just seeing a lot of things that I don't understand in these notes, Sean. And as
lots
the undecided voter...
It's lots of acronyms and numbers and very vague policies.
Like, to pick out a few words here, let's, Nix and, I've just seen Ambition to Rejoin. Guessing that's Lib Dems.
Yeah, obviously.
This is a sneak peek right now. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So, the economy. Basically, it's fucked.
It's not fucked. It's not. The economy is now heading in the right direction. There was some economic shocks, the COVID pandemic, and the energy crisis that cost the economy. Well, the government borrowed £400 billion to pay for that.
Did you rehearse that before you came on?
No, I didn't actually. I just knew the number.
Just offhand.
Just off the top of my head, you know. These are the sort of things I need to be able to whip straight off.
Yeah, Sean likes whipping out his stuff.
Yeah, my figures.
All right, Sean. Well, I mean, I usually pick where we start.
I picked on the last one, so...
Did you? Would you like to pick again?
No, I think it's down to you. You're the undecided voter.
I am the undecided voter.
Yeah, I'm not undecided.
Still very much undecided, I assure you. Even after this week's... I mean, the debate last night...
I know, that was... That threw the cat among the pigeons, didn't it?
Yeah, I gotta say, Rishi... Rishi definitely came out on top. He was on fire last night.
Rishi was on fire.
I think he had Kia stumbling over his words.
It was quite funny. Kia was... some of the points, he didn't know what to say, did he? He was sort of...
You know what? In honour of... in my opinion, of course... Starmer's ass whooping by Rishi. Let's start with the Blues.
With the Blues.
Let's start with the Tories. Now, it could be argued that they did for want of a better word, fuck the economy. However, they have a plan to fix it, a clear plan, right, Sean?
So yes, the Tories. So you could argue that one Conservative Prime Minister who lasted for 44 days,
the one that was a lettuce,
the one that's a lettuce. She made some choices that caused some concerns in the economy, which drove inflation up even higher than it was already going.
Yeah.
We do know that it wasn't completely her fault, because, you know, the economic shocks have been felt around the world. You know, Europe's had high inflation as well, and so has the US, because of the Ukraine war and COVID. But also, we had that added Liz Truss saga.
It wasn't really a saga. A saga would imply that it went on for a while. I'd say it was like a fairy tale.
Yeah, it's a quick story, wasn't it?
It's just...
short stories.
There once was a woman from Norfolk.
The end.
I'm sure there's a...
but yes, since Rishi Sunak came into office, he said he had a plan. He came out onto the steps of Downing Street and said, "I've got a plan. Going to get your inflation down." What was it? He said he was going to halve it, didn't he? Was it half?
That was the promise, to halve inflation.
But he got it. He did get it. That was one of the few promises that he did make.
Checked.
He got it down, luckily enough, to actually the Bank of England's target of 2%. which was actually a bit of a shock. People were expecting it to be slightly higher.
Yes, but mortgage rates still haven't come down, but that's something else.
There's part of the reason for that is the Bank of England was not going to lower interest rates in the middle of a general election.
Yeah, of course, but still.
So that's coming in August, we're expecting, and then a second interest rate cut in November.
Nice.
But we're getting off the point. So
the Blues, what are they going to do for that? What is Rishi's plan for the economy?
Of course, they're going to continue with the plan. That is their manifest. That is the key theme throughout their manifesto.
Clear plan.
Stick with the plan. The plan is working.
The plan is working. Is it?
So they're keeping their fiscal rules in place, which is something that them and Labour both have in common.
Yeah.
Obviously, the underlying theme of the fiscal rules is that debt reduces as a percentage of GDP, and the overall government deficit falls as well.
Yeah, I mean, we need to pay off debts. We can't, like, I imagine when we come to maybe a party of a slightly green variety, that there's going to be lots of borrowing. I'm sure that's coming up. Without even looking at it, I haven't looked at the Greens' notes yet. But I think we do need to actively pay off our debts, because when we pay off our debts, that's going to free up more money in the long run. Yeah. Now, I don't mean to whittle this down to a video game. However, I have played Hearts of Iron 4, right, as Ukraine on the Millennium Dawn mod, and just as a point of order, not only did I pay off all of their debt, I also got them into NATO before 2004. So really, the moral of the story is just let me do it. Right, I'll sort it out.
Because running the country is the same as that.
Playing a video game, it's as easy as playing a video game.
Yeah, I wish I'd love to, because that makes such a fun job,
wouldn't it?
If you just sit there playing Hearts of Iron all day.
Yeah. Now, I'm seeing a lot of corporation tax on these notes as well, Sean.
Yeah, I realise I put this second point also second from bottom.
Oh. So good, you put it twice.
Yeah, so
no raising corporation tax.
This is that they're promising not to raise corporation tax, unlike...
Are they going to drop it?
No.
Sean is quickly fact-checking.
So they're not dropping the rate of corporation tax. I believe it's currently 25%, and it is going to stay at that amount. But they have said, we're not going to raise it.
Cool, fair enough. Abolish the main rate of national insurance contributions, NICS.
Yeah.
Got that one, didn't I? Yeah. For the self-employed. I have that now. As someone that used to be self-employed, I feel like that this is quite a good thing, because not only was paying national insurance a ball ache,
it's
very confusing at the amount that you have to pay. It's not, it's calculated for you, but the way that you get to that calculation, you have to make sure that everything else is entered. And a lot of sole traders, much like I, couldn't afford accountants, so we did have to work it out on our own. And while I did get 99% of it right, there was the odd few, you know, 10 or 20 quid that I was short. But they don't notify you of that once you've paid it until a year later, when they say, oh, last year's national insurance contributions were too low, so we've taken it off your pension. Great,
thanks for that, buddy.
Like, honestly, it was a nightmare. So I'm glad that they're getting rid of them, because it's just another thing that they can invest it back into their business, which is absolutely critical when you're starting a business, and B, it's just going to save them time. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, definitely. And it saves them money. That's the key thing. That's the key point to that thing there. They want to save smaller businesses. It's not obviously going to affect massive multinational corporations, but this is aimed at those smaller businesses.
Yeah, for the self-employed. So when you register as self-employed, you don't necessarily register a business. You register yourself, i.e. your name, as trading as self-employed.
Exactly.
You still have to submit a self-assessment tax return. I know, look at me talking about... Yeah, I know. I'm doing well, aren't I? I'm learning.
Get you.
I know, get me. You still have to submit a self-assessment tax return. It's basically a very long checklist and tick box exercise on the .gov website.
And if you get it wrong, prison.
I mean, it's not quite that harsh. If you don't pay what you owe them, then maybe prison?
If they can be bothered to come after you?
Yeah. I mean, HMRC, I'm sure there'll be something about HMRC coming up. But
it is, yeah. There
was a thing that came out a few weeks back that said that Britons have spent something like 350 years on hold to HMRC since
like the year 2000 or something. I can't remember where. I'll try and find the article. But yeah, it was ridiculous. That definitely needs some restructuring.
Yeah, HMRC is a big hole.
And speaking of some restructuring, do I see the Leveling Up Fund coming back?
Well, kind of. They want to continue with the Leveling Up Fund, and they want to invest a further £4.7 billion into smaller cities.
Now, I have to say, not fighting the Tories' corner here or anything, but I have actually seen the Leveling Up in action.
You do.
The town that I work in has had some Leveling Up money, and there's big billboards and building sites up everywhere that says Leveling Up across them.
Does it have the Melbourne Powerhouse Minister on it?
Well, no, it doesn't, unfortunately. However, one thing I have noticed is since the start of the general election, no work's been being done.
Builders aren't being paid. Government to pay them.
the building sites are empty, so... 4.7 billion for smaller cities. I think there's been a list of those cities released.
I think that they've released the initial 20 cities that are going to get 20 million quid each initially. But obviously there'll be further rounds of funding that happen, and cities and towns get to vote and bid and shit.
One thing I do love about this, the economy for the Tories, is that they're pledging double what they're pledging for smaller cities for potholes and resurfacing roads.
Yeah. Well.
Is doubly important.
Yeah, they have noticed that our road networks are poor.
No shit.
And they're in a poor
condition.
Did
he figure that out all on his own?
Yeah, while he was taking his helicopter. He saw the roads from above.
14 years it's taken them to figure out that the roads are dog shit.
And essentially they say, without having a good road network, you can't grow the economy. Which is very good. It's true, you can't. You have to be able to get stuff to places.
I mean, we have been telling him that, and the Tories, for quite some time. Just saying.
But yeah, so they're promising, in their manifesto, £8.3 billion across the parliament for potholes and resurfacing of roads.
And it will make absolutely minimal difference at best.
Exactly. We need flying cars. That's what we need.
We need flying cars.
We don't have to worry about potholes then.
They also want to invest another £8.5 billion in city regions. What? Just explain city regions. This is like Greater London, Greater Manchester.
Yeah, so this is sort of regional cities. So this is... So obviously, like you've just pointed out, the two bigger ones. Mm. We've also obviously got Teesside, which is multiple areas.
Oh, okay. Are you thinking like cities like South? Is Southampton a city?
Southampton is a city, but no, it's so like Greater Manchester. That's not just Manchester. That's Manchester, Rochdale, Bury, Stockport,
Wigan,
Bolton, all of those different places. That it's a region of cities. So it's about investing in them as well, not just focusing on small areas that are smaller, but focusing like investing in these bigger cities because they need it as well. You know, they're probably growing more rapidly than the smaller towns.
Yeah, makes sense.
So
fair enough. And then the transport links to go with that as well.
So
they haven't put a number on this, right?
They've listed. So with this one, it's a bit strange. So they have. They've listed certain things, but some of them don't have costings to them. Some of them are already in place.
Right, okay.
Or
let's look at this thing we've already done. We're going to do it again.
Yeah, so, or reversing things that were done many years ago.
Oh, okay.
So one of those, for example, is they're saying they want to reopen the beaching lines and stations.
Oh, now that's interesting.
To reconnect communities across the country. So they trialed this in Dartmoor with the Dartmoor line, and it's worked really well. So they want to expand on that and start opening more and more beaching lines.
Okay, let's make a point on that, because now this area that we live in was affected heavily by the beaching cuts.
Yes.
And for starters, a lot of those lines have been turned into nature walks, roads...
obviously,
you know,
they can't open all of them.
Obviously, yeah. You know, a lot of them have been turned into heritage railway lines as well now. So, you know, the town that we used to live in, for example, has the heritage railway line there.
And I'm assuming they will work with these, because obviously that heritage line, that's not owned by Network Rail anymore.
It's owned by the charity.
So they will work with these, because that town, that desperately needs a train link. And the easiest way to do it that would cause the least disruption
is to use the existing train station
train lines that are there.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to look at how they could approach that.
The other problem with this is we can't have a functioning train network at the moment anyway. The train fares go up massively year on year with little to no investment.
And that's why I think the government are focusing on investing and I think a big part of it at the moment is when the
trains do run on time, the drivers and everyone just go on strike about not being paid enough, and then the ticket prices go up again, and it's just a perpetual cycle of bullshit.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be something done about the fares.
Is it a sticking plaster on? On quite a big wound.
I don't know. A lot of this is, you know, a lot of it is focused on railways. You know, 1.75 billion for the Midlands rail hub.
Well, if they were that focused on railways, why did they scrap HS2, the northern leg of HS2?
I don't know. To be honest,
I'm just saying.
They want to, obviously, they're going to finish the initial part of HS2 from London to the Midlands. They want to electrify the Northwest Main Line.
That would be a massive...
The North Wales Main Line, I should say.
Yeah, that would be a massive undertaking, because that is a very, very old railway line.
They also... And then further upgrades throughout the network, including...
It does need it, I think.
And they've given some examples. So the Energy Coastline in Cumbria and Ely Junction in East Anglia is a couple of examples that they are going for.
Yeah, so Ely Junction, we've done that train journey many times.
I used to get that.
You had to either wait, and then you had to go through that little village called March, and it was speed restricted there. It's a nightmare.
So you'd end up doing is actually pop into the Tesco's, get a shitload those little alcohol cans, you know, the vodka lemonade ones in a little can from Tesco's.
Those were the days, But yeah, I think the trains do need a lot of investment. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to bring them under public ownership.
No.
And the privatising it...
The Conservatives definitely aren't proposing any nationalisation. I want to make that exceedingly clear.
Yeah, of course. I don't think necessarily private business ownership is that good either, to be honest, because it's then run for profit and not for service.
There needs to be
a restructure
organization.
Yeah, they need to be non-profit organizations, almost charities, a charity like.
Yeah, well, that's what an NPO is.
For the service. You know, after the salaries are paid, any profit that has been made needs to be reinvested straight back into the network. No massive bonuses for the bosses at the end of the year. Nothing like that. And while it would be annoying to run a business like that, I get it, somebody's got to do it.
The thing is, that's how most government and privatised government areas are run.
Yeah.
So why can't the train do it for the rail network? Any different?
Yeah.
It's because of how it was all structured in the origins of selling it off, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different podcast.
But if they want to invest in it, fine, good for them.
Definitely.
But government bureaucracy.
This is one of them, you know. We'll just
kitchen sink.
We'll just chuck it in. Every party is saying we're going to cut government bureaucracy. It's about cutting red tape, making the tax code easier, simplifying stuff. It can be, like I was saying earlier,
it needs to be easier.
Yeah, like you said, people are spending so much time on the phone with HMRC. Speed that process up. You can speak to more people.
Oh, my God.
And then you wouldn't have to have so many people in the civil service, because that is one of the cost savings that the Tories want to make.
If I had a pound for every minute I'd spent on hold to HMRC, I'd be a very rich man.
If I had a pound for every minute I'd spent on hold to HMRC, I'd be very poor. I don't think I've ever phoned them.
Sean obviously has a flawless tax record, ladies and gentlemen.
I have never spoken to HMRC. No?
Preventing tax evasion and avoidance, they put in.
Another one of those policies that every party chucks in, and this is an interesting one, because amongst the top three, as they say, they're all costed, they're all fully costed funded, you know, the spout, the shit they spout. But this is one that both the Lib Dems, the Tories and Labour want to do, tackle tax avoidance and evasion.
Okay.
It's something that, you know, it's a continuous thing. You know, we've been doing it for the past 20 years. We'll be doing it for the next 20 years because there's always going to be people trying to wiggle out of taxes. And in, so, for example, in this, the Lib Dems have said in this parliament we could raise, I believe it was around 7 billion from this policy.
Right, okay, that's a lot of money that's coming from nowhere.
The Tories came in at around 2.6 billion less.
Yeah.
And Labour were 100k more than the Tories.
Wow.
So the Tories had the lowest estimate of what they could raise from tax avoidance and evasion.
The Conservatives being conservative with a guesstimate? Never.
But the way I looked at it and went, actually, well, if I'm costing the Tories manifesto with the Lib Dems figures, then their policies actually look much better. Do you know what I mean? They're actually doing them a favour.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, you know, it's something that HMRC is constantly trying to tackle. You know, there's different things the government can do, change laws, rewrite them so they interpret it differently.
To be honest, it's just going to be one of those things that always happens. And when, if you do actually, you know, permanently clamp down on it, the people that are tax avoiding and living here will just leave.
They'll be gone, yeah.
They'll just go.
Exactly. It's about keeping your wealth and, you know, people want to do that. People
yeah,
want
exactly.
to keep their own wealth, so they'll try what they have can.
Introduce the and you will have heard this if you've been on the campaign trail, right? It is the PTLP, the Pension Triple Lock Plus.
If you've ever turned on, if you've turned on the news since the 22nd of May, then you'll know what this is.
You'll know what this is. This is looking after pensioners and not taxing their pensions.
Exactly. So this is obviously raising the pension tax bracket so that the state pension is never taxed.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't think you should be taxed when you've retired.
One argument in the repertoire of the opposition parties is that, well, if it wasn't for the Conservative government freezing tax thresholds, it would never have gone into a taxable state anyway.
Oh, you raise a good point there, Sean.
So there is that.
They're just fixing a problem that they created.
Yes, but they're the only people that are going to fix it.
Oh.
So see that how you were.
So everybody else is going to benefit from their from the Tories.
Everyone
policy.
Else is thinking, oh, okay, well we'll cash in. We'll blame the Tories. They've raised the tax.
Do you think this is a gimmick that they've been holding on to for a while?
I have a feeling that, you know, they've been thinking, okay, well we'll leave, because I think Jeremy wanted to scrap that.
Yeah.
But
for those of you who don't know, we're referring to Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah.
Not to be confused.
Hunt.
Yeah, Hunt with a H, Sophie Ridge. We're all watching. We heard you.
The fact she didn't even correct herself.
I know. But the thing is, though, we saw the interview with her on Have I Got News For You, and she did say then that she didn't even realise that she'd said it.
No. Brilliant.
Shit, where was I? God damn it. Jeremy Hunt, do you reckon he wanted to get rid of it?
I reckon he wanted to introduce something like this in the last budget.
Yeah.
Because the last budget did feel a bit restrained. Did you not feel?
Well, it was almost as if they were preparing for an election.
Exactly. So, you know, let's save everything for the election. And that's exactly what this is. But they didn't, I think they were counting on at least some of the parties to also follow suit. I think they could have played it in a better way and gone, well, we're the only ones that are... And they have tried that, but I don't think they've pushed it enough.
They're appealing to their core voters, aren't they, the Tories?
Oh, definitely.
Yes. And finally, in the blue corner, which has taken a whole 25 minutes today...
It's crazy, isn't it?
..for the economy, is reducing the national insurance contributions to 6% by 2027. They are currently, Sean?
They're currently 8%.
So it's a 2% reduction.
So we would get a 1% reduction in 2025, followed by a further reduction latest of 2027. Potentially earlier, depending on the situation, but they haven't. They've given the latest date that it.
Yeah, exactly. So they've promised it will be in the next parliament for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So by the end, what they're saying is by the end of the parliament, by the end of next parliament, national insurance contributions will have been halved from the 12% we were paying in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, it's always good to have lower taxes, and, you know, Rishi has been harping on about this at every TV debate, every interview. We're going to lower your taxes, Starmer's going to put them up.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's in the manifesto, you know, I don't particularly agree that national insurance contributions are a tax. However, By definition, they are a tax. So I wanted lower taxes at this election.
Technically,
that is what Rishi is doing.
Woo!
Go, Rishi. Well done. Lowering taxes. moving on, then.
Okay. Who next?
Let's go for the yellow.
The yellow
Sean.
Corner.
Why
okay.
not in the
okay.
yellow
so
corner?
We've got Mr. Ed Davey. He's not been in any lakes this week, I've noticed.
No, he's kept himself rather dry this week, hasn't he?
He's been keeping himself dry. But as you'll notice from the notes, they're a bit limited.
Well, I mean, it's not like they were writing the manifesto to get into power now, is it?
No. So, no, not really. And I don't... Okay, well, I'll let you be the judge of it first. So
okay.
Their first point is they want to provide long-term help with the cost of living. Well, and to do that, they want to reduce energy bills with an emergency home energy upgrade program. They want to reduce food prices by introducing a national food strategy. And reduce mortgage rates with careful economic management.
Okay, so, number one, I'm seeing some Liz Truss here. I'm seeing some rationing here. I'm seeing a lot of money being spent here. And I'm also seeing long-term help with a problem that should be going away soon.
Yeah, yeah, something that should be easing, at least.
Yes, I mean, the fact that we have a crisis called the cost of living at all is absolutely barbaric as a species.
Please
and
agree.
Frankly, we need to check ourselves. I'm just saying.
No, I agree. I don't understand what they mean by an emergency home energy upgrade program.
Would this be an emergency act of parliament to say Britain needs help with energy warming homes? Do it.
I don't know. There's no.
Is there any? Well, he said his manifesto is fully costed. Is this bit costed?
There's no detail for them to cost. There's
how much is it going to cost to do the emergency home energy upgrade program?
Well, there's no detail behind it, so they can't have costed it, because to cost something, you have to understand what it is.
And they don't understand.
Well, not from their manifesto, anyway. Because
brilliant.
Their manifesto, they might know in their heads.
Why are they keeping it? I want to know.
Because it's probably really expensive.
I mean, that's the only fact, really, that we can take away from that sentence.
But, a lot of it is focused around introducing strategies.
Yes.
So the food strategy and careful economic management, I suppose you could call that a strategy as well.
Food strategy is just a byword for rationing, in my opinion.
It certainly feels that way.
And also, I have the feeling the CMA might have something today to say about reducing food prices, because how is that going to promote healthy competition within the country and business if the government is getting involved in setting prices of everything?
True.
We are a capitalist society, after all. We work on business.
Yeah,
how the world
very
works.
Very true. We are capitalists.
We are capitalists. You might hate it, you might love it. It's a bit like Marmite. But at the end of the day, I do love my Cadbury nibs.
Nib, nib.
Nib, nib.
That's a word.
That's a word.
That's a nib.
Nibbles, by the way. Caramel nibbles. Just to clarify.
Other chocolate is available.
Other chocolate is available. Like 12.
Also owned by Cadbury's.
Yeah, and caramel buns, which are also amazing.
Also owned by Cadbury's.
Also Cadbury's, yeah. I like Cadbury's, okay? I'm just
Nestle
saying.
Is also available.
Cadbury's, please send me free stuff. So, moving on, they want to invest in green infrastructure. Again, kitchen sink. They haven't really put a number behind this, have they?
No. So what they've said is green infrastructure, innovation and skills. I couldn't bother to type all that because it's nonsense. But... they're saying that the future of the economy is green.
The future of the economy is now.
It's realistically true. You know, we're all move. Every business is looking to go green or to move to some sort of greener sustainability. But they've said for economic growth, we have to focus on that.
Okay.
Which is reasonable. It's an ambition. There's no numbers. Per se, because it's not a, again, it's one of those, we need more detail behind it.
We need to know more about it. You can't just say invest in green infrastructure. What infrastructure is it going to be? How is it going to be green? Is it going to be carbon neutral when
it's built?
They're
going to paint it.
They're going to paint it green.
Yeah, it's green then.
It's going to be a massive diesel engine, but they're going to paint it green.
So that way it's green, right? That's how it works.
Brilliant. No? Closer ties with the EU with long-term ambition to rejoin. How good that would be for the economy, I don't know.
So they're saying this is obviously to speed up, to make sure that we're part of the customs union, the single market, freedom of movement, the single market. You know, they're saying that all of that boosts the economy, will bring more investment, more trade to the UK.
Yeah.
If they look at the facts, they would argue differently.
I don't feel as strongly on this as maybe you might think. I do think it would be a good idea to rejoin. Maybe not right now, but I do think it would be a good idea to rejoin. I think Brexit has kind of messed up the economy, in my opinion, which is why we're in the mess that we're in. Obviously, that's been we had Brexit, then we had COVID, then we had the wars.
But you,
to live it,
you
the
say
energy.
You say that.
I just feel like it would be, with a long-term ambition to maybe rejoin if the situation in Europe improves. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We're better together, right?
No.
As a species, we're better together.
The thing is, you know, people. You said Brexit has sort of played a part in messing up the economy. I don't agree with that in any sense.
So you think,
because Europe has been just as affected, if not more so, by the economic shock, the Eurozone and the EU.
Yeah.
If anything, EU politics is more fractured than ever with the rise of the right wing in Europe.
Yes, this is
true. You look at France's results and Belgium's results in the European elections with the surge in right-wing popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the stability that we need is there at the moment. Don't get me wrong, I can't speak for 20 years in the future, but at this point, I feel we need to make the most of Brexit. It's cost us a lot up to this point.
Yeah,
Why go back and waste that?
And like I said, we can't just rejoin tomorrow because, A, they'd never have us. Because they're still quite...
They probably would, because at the end of the day, we were the second largest contributor to EU.
Yeah, I get that. We definitely did a good thing for them, didn't we?
Yeah, we definitely bankrolled most of them. Especially Greece.
Oh God, yeah, I remember that. Jesus.
When they collapsed like multiple times over. But yeah, I just don't think the stability is there, so I don't agree with that policy. And I did vote in the EU referendum.
See, I didn't understand. There was so much going on. Me and you weren't together. I hadn't met you at that point. In hindsight, I would have voted Remain, I think. Hindsight's a beautiful and wonderful thing, as we know. But I think I would have voted Remain. Not that one vote would have made a difference.
But then again, you say that. There's probably lots of people sat there thinking the same. But there's probably also lots of people sat there thinking, well, if in hindsight, I'd have voted Leave.
Yeah.
You know, there's both arguments are there.
Just because I've seen what it's done, but would the alternative would have been better if we were in the EU during COVID?
I think
that probably would have been quite bad for the economy. We would have come out of it worse off, probably.
Yeah, and in hindsight, we have things aren't that difficult.
No,
when it comes to the relationship with the EU now, for work recently, I've had to look into some of the Brexit regulations around the border in Northern Ireland. And realistically, the rules there are so simple, even I understood them. And, you know, when I read the Brexit agreement, I was like, oh, this is tosh.
The Windsor Framework?
The Windsor Framework, that's it, yeah. I was like, oh, this is killing me.
Can you remember the backstop?
I can remember Boris's backstop.
Crazy, right?
Good old Boris.
Good old Boris.
So back to the Lib Dems.
Yes, bit of a tangent there. Our bad.
national debt to fall as a percentage of GDP.
We'll just tick that one off for these guys. Everybody's doing the same. Tick.
This is the Conservatives' fiscal rules.
Yes. Tick. Additional resources for HMRC to tackle tax evasion and avoidance. We have covered that. We know it's shit. Tick.
Tick.
Reverse tax cuts for banks and bankers to impose a windfall tax on oil and gas producers. Now, reversing tax cuts and banks for bankers. Yes, agreed. Get rid of their bonuses as well. They don't deserve it. They sit in a room and look at figures.
You know, there are caps on bankers' bonuses that are imposed by the government. Reversing... it's one of them things, you know. It's going to sit well with most people. It doesn't really care. I don't really care about it.
Yeah.
Let them be paid what they want to be paid, what the companies want to pay them. You know, if my company wanted to pay me £1 million a year, I'm not going to fucking quibble at it.
Yeah. Or maybe what they could do is pay the people that are on minimum wage running the counters just that little bit more.
Well, they could do, but it's completely up to them, isn't it? It's a capitalist society. You made that perfectly clear.
I'm
paid more than
it's a capitalist society, but it's a capitalist society that should be fair. And I believe that somebody that is on 10% of their boss's salary, in some cases a hell of a lot less, that's an unjust society.
But with, as we said, with risk comes with risk and responsibility comes higher pay. But yeah, and the windfall tax, they want to increase it. You know, there's already one in place.
Yeah, increase it. They make far too much money. They made record profits for the last 3 years.
Which we're already taxing with a windfall tax.
I know, but increase that windfall tax because, again, these things should be non-profit organisations. If you're running a company that supplies gas and electricity to the people of the country, why do you need to make a profit?
Because they're private companies that are being paid for by people.
So again, they need to be non-profit, and what we need to do, like Thames Water, owned by the Saudi conglomerate or whatever that is, no, we should probably have that owned by someone that has a vested interest.
Find someone with the money to do it and they might.
Well, find someone that actually has an interest in doing that.
Find someone with £3 billion to buy it and they will.
I mean, Thames Water is a whole nother... We might have to do a whole episode. They might actually need its own theories.
Well, they'll just operate... They'll just register somewhere else to get out of the tax.
Well, I imagine the Lib Dems would stop that from happening and close that loophole.
Good luck to them. Because, again, it's one of those policies that's just not going to happen. Even if they got into power, they'd be very unlikely.
Well, you say it's not going to happen. It's already happening.
Well, a very, yeah, a minor windfall, but they want to put it up substantially. It's not going, it won't work. You can I can't even say the fucking word.
We'll cut that.
You can idealise the policy as much as you want. Ed Davey seems to do that, as like, push it. It's not going to be as effective and as profitable, because what happens once, you know, the energy market goes back down? Oh wait, it already is, and they're not making these record profits anymore.
Yeah, but we still have to have a price cap in place to make sure that these companies don't charge exorbitant amounts of money.
And they, you know what, they are, do you know what they makes are up the I'm biggest sorry proportion of that?
I'm sorry, but they are taking the piss out of the British people, and they have been for some time.
Do you know what's quite funny about the energy price cap? Do you know what makes up the majority of that price cap? Tax.
You only pay 5% VAT on energy.
So you only pay 5% VAT, but you've also then got your energy levies. So if you actually, Ofgem release a breakdown of what the energy price cap is.
So how much of that, bubble does the energy company get?
I have to get the details up, hang on. So of the £1,568, £613 goes to the energy company.
So just under half, roughly.
So £600 to the energy company, £900 in taxes and levies
to the government.
Yeah.
So that just goes to the government in taxes. So
and
where
into
does
the network? So it's also put back into the network cost.
Right. Okay. So the cost of actually running the network. Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah. So that's the Lib Dems. They want to tax more.
I mean, windfall taxes, additional resources, long-term help with the cost of living. It's a lot of money. And they're saying, again, it's fully costed, but we're just not getting the full picture. You can't pay for all of these
definitely
things.
Definitely not. Looking at the tax burden, other than the Green Party, which, because we all know that Green Party is on a different planet. Apart from them, the tax burden would be at its highest under the Liberal Democrats.
Wow. Is this the chart where
the
it went through the roof?
So obviously the Greens is, as I said, Greens is in another planet. But the Lib Dems is the highest, then Labour, and then the Tories.
Wow.
Weren't able to cost reform. I haven't seen reform on that chart.
Well, it's not really a manifesto, is it? It's a contract with the people. Speaking of reform, let's head over to the light blue corner. Why not?
The light blue. So, again, this is quite an ambitious contract.
Yeah?
I'd love for them to not reach it because, you know, it's a contract I can see. but yeah, so we'll go straight in, big and bold, balls to the wall.
Big and bold, balls to the wall.
Initial basic rate of tax, you don't pay it till £20,000 income.
So this is one of the things that's been on my mind for a while, because I want to pay less tax, right, as an undecided voter. Brilliant for me, however, thinking as, you know, a person of not...
Limited intelligence.
Yeah, I was speaking as a person with limited intelligence.
No, I was saying you're not limited intelligence. You're not stupid, is what I'm saying.
No, no, I'm fairly dumb. That's really. I think we all know that.
As long as you said it.
I can't help but think about how much that's going to cost the country, and where that money's going to come from. Much like a lot of the other policies. Now, this policy would cost the UK about 70 billion quid.
Over the term of a parliament.
Over the course of 5 years. That, my friends, in case you didn't know, is a big fucking chunk of money.
That's a lot of cash.
That is a lot of money. So, where's that coming from? Now, Reform are saying that they want to save every... I'm sure you've listed this here, but they want to save £5 in every 100 on government waste spending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's cutting bureaucracy and government waste.
Yes. So,
but they not only do they want to raise the basic threshold to 20,000 from 12,000,
mm-hmm.
they also want to raise the higher bracket, which is currently at 50,000.
Up to 70, right?
Up to 70,000. So those higher earners, they get a larger increase in their taxable earnings.
So, I mean, this is only going to this is going to disproportionately benefit people on the highest incomes, isn't it?
Of course it is.
So, looking at there was a graph that I was looking at the other day. The lowest 1% of workers will save around 200 quid a year. The highest 1% was it about 10 grand, 6 to 10 grand a year,
about
or something?
£6,500 a year.
£6,500, yeah. That which is, you know, a staggering wealth
difference.
Gap.
Yeah. And that is the that's why potentially raising the tax bracket is not the way to be able to benefit less well-off people.
Yeah. And speaking of cuts, Sean, more and more cuts coming up. Scrap VAT on energy bills, lower fuel duty by 20p, and scrap environmental levies as well.
Yeah, so this is what makes up, as I was saying, on the energy price cap, your VAT, your energy, your environmental levies, so there is fuel duty on there. Obviously, fuel duty you pay at the pump as well.
Yep. Fuel duty has been a contentious issue for a very long time here in the UK.
And the Conservative government does seem to have reduced it. They've done, I think, was it 5p in the last budget and then 5p in the one before that as well?
I have the feeling the incoming Labour government will have something to say about this. Not in their manifesto, of course. They'll keep it from us until after the election,
I imagine.
There's
definitely nothing in their manifesto about this yet.
You know, speaking about, you know, more cuts, cutting residential stamp duty to 0% on properties under 750 grand, 2% under 1.5 million, and 4% over 1.5 million. So I'm assuming this is not just for first-time buyers, this is across the board,
this
right?
Is stamp duty, because at the moment you don't pay stamp duty on properties under £300,000 if you are buying for the first time.
And as we mentioned earlier, the Tories want to raise that to 425k.
Reform want to raise it, or to cut the stamp duty full stop for any property under 750k, whether that's your first house or your 50th house.
More cuts. Abolishing VAT for tourist shopping.
So this is, you know...
And abolishing inheritance tax for all estates under 2 million quid as well.
Yeah, so the VAT on tourist shopping. So this is the tourist VAT refund scheme. So this is tourists come to the UK.
Yeah.
They buy from our shops, they can go back to their country and claim back the VAT.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair. When I go to foreign countries, I can't claim back the tax.
But you don't pay. You also don't pay tax in G3.
No. That's only at the airport, of course. But yeah. when we were bimbling around Spain a few weeks back, we were going into shops and stuff like that. Yeah. We pay their taxes, but, and we can't claim that back. So that seems incredibly unfair.
But Reform wants to introduce that.
That's not a good thing.
But they're saying that it deterred 2 million tourists per year. I don't know how their calculations work.
That's okay, don't worry. Disneyland will make up for it.
There's no referencing in their manifesto, so I can't cross-reference their sources.
Interesting. And then inheritance tax for all estates under 2 million quid is fairly self-explanatory. You don't have to pay any inheritance tax.
To prevent anyone who's not overly rich from having to pay inheritance.
Yeah. Lift minimum profit threshold for corporation tax to 100k.
Yep.
Reduce main corporation tax rate to 20%, then 15% from year 3.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah, it will help. It might promote a little bit of investment in the UK as well, which is what we need.
There's a lot of cuts.
There is a lot of cuts.
Very expensive, you know. It's corporation tax is currently 25%, and in 3 years they want to take 10% off of that.
So here's one you're going to definitely need to explain. The IR35 rules for sole trailers. Traders. They want to abolish this, the Reform Party.
So this is... And it's a tax law. It's very confusing. It's very complicated, but it's to do with sick pay. Essentially, sole traders have to pay into an IR. I believe they have to pay into an IR35 scheme, which covers them sick pay, so they don't have to claim benefits.
It basically, if you ever have to claim SSP, it's basically a sole trader's way of paying into the SSP scheme.
Kind of, yeah. It's a lot more complex than that.
Very basic layman's terms. It's basically they're paying into a pot for their sick pay.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more convoluted than that.
Yeah. So
good, yeah, get rid of it. It's another thing.
It's a good policy, I do agree with
that. Yeah, another thing that sole traders have to get around. It's just another thing they wouldn't have to worry about. I like that. Lift the VAT threshold to 150k.
So this is for businesses. So if you have to register as a VAT registered business, currently it's at 90,000 with plans for it to be risen to 120,000. But Reform want to go further and go to 150,000.
Push that boat out.
Push it out.
My next point for the Reform Party here is to abolish business rates for high street businesses. Now, the problem that I see here is that every business will then want to be a high street business, and while that will revitalise the high street, great idea, there's going to be some really appropriate shops on the high street.
Yeah, Love like, Honey.
Like, you know, yeah, like Love Honey or, you know, Quick Fit. will be on the high street. Imagine trying to get your car down the pedestrianised high street. Like, you can just see it happening, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, B&Q Express on the high street.
Could you imagine it
would happen, wouldn't it?
So
these businesses would get around business rates. So I can, while it would revitalise the high street, I imagine it would...
It's open to manipulation.
It's open to huge manipulation. And,
yeah.
And you will probably find that there would be, you know, 10, like, you know, convenience corner shops pop up. Just to get round the not paying tax rates, because you know it's no secret that a lot of these places are used for fronts for other things. Let's be honest, and it would just be another. It would just be abused. I think. I think it would be good for the high street, but bad for everything else.
Yeah, it's one of them things. Again, it's more cuts though.
Yeah,
the thing with business rates is they go to local authorities.
Yeah.
So that is actually, that's not taking money away from Westminster, that's taking money away from the local authority. So that is where I would be a bit concerned about that. But it's, you know, it's good for the business.
Mm. Introducing a 4% online delivery tax. Now, I'm really not happy about this reform because I already have to pay a service fee and a delivery fee and then an admin tax and then a convenience fee when I order a takeaway. So I don't want an online delivery tax as well.
Yeah, so this is how they want to pay for the free or the business rates for high street businesses.
Okay.
They want to, so on, and they don't define it, but they phrase it as multinational enterprises.
Ooh.
So that'll be things like Amazon.
Ooh.
Obviously. And they want to, put 4% tax on them.
I mean, on Amazon, it is a convenience tax, let's be honest.
Well, Amazon doesn't pay tax at the moment.
No, so no, they don't. And that's probably something that we should be looking at.
Well, it is something that's
for
being
the economy.
Looked into.
I noticed that no party has spoken about tech. Maybe Labour will have something.
So I'll give you a quick reason behind that. It is currently being discussed not on a national level, but on an international level, because the businesses. Because the way tax systems work, you can't charge a company tax if they don't operate in your country, or if they're not based in your country.
But they operate in every country around the world.
That's why Apple's in Luxembourg. That's why Facebook is in Ireland, and stuff like that.
That's an interesting one to watch.
How they get around taxes.
All right. A couple final points on reform. They want to reform the planning system, slashing red tape.
So that's the bit that's about the cutting or bureaucracy and shit,
And simplifying the tax system as well, which I do think needs to happen.
They put a fun little fact in their contract, which I thought might be a fun one. So the tax system, they've said, is currently over 21,000 pages long.
Whoa.
However, Hong Kong,
yes,
their tax code is 500 pages.
Wow.
So they want, their ambition is to simplify the tax code down to like 500 pages, make it more manageable.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. The tax system is very convoluted, whether you're a sole trader, PAYE.
Good luck to him, is all I'm going to say. Rather him than me. I don't tax
you'll need more. You'll need a good accountant, Faraj. That's all I can say.
And a good. You really need to keep the will to live.
Yeah. All right, then. Two more to go.
Two
we can
more
do
to go.
This. We're an hour in. We told you this was a long one. All right, stick with the program. We're nearly there.
Nearly there. Should we do the smaller one first?
Let's get Red out of the way.
Red out of the way. Okay.
Let's get this. So obviously, most likely the incoming government. Take note of a few of these.
Yeah. So
there's some interesting ones in here.
We'll start off with the.
Wait. Hang on. No, I think I can guess. Debt to fall as a percentage of GDP.
Shit, no way.
Boom.
Got that. It is, yeah. Fiscal rules of the Tories, everyone's keeping them, so...
Sean pointing out that they're Tory plans. It's a fact.
It is, yeah.
Facts. So, the next one, I kind of feel like we don't need. It is a little bit of a waste of money, but here we go. Appointing a fixed-term COVID corruption commissioner to recoup public money lost in the pandemic contracts. Now, I have the feeling that this has just been put in the manifesto to the Tories, right?
Oh, 100%, because we're never going to recoup that money.
And they're never going to appoint a CCC, COVID Corruption Commissioner, just in case you didn't know. There needs to be a public inquiry into how those contracts were awarded, and I do agree that there needs
to be the COVID inquiry.
Exactly, and I do believe that that does need to be looked into, because it was very, very fishy, Rishi, very, very fishy.
Baroness Monet.
Very, very fishy, Boris. Very, very brishy. Very, very...
One pound fish.
We're tired. Look, it's 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the UK. Shit. We had a TV debate to watch tonight. It's all ding. Right. That's never going to happen. COVID corruption officer, just forget we said it. It's not going to happen. It's just a stab at the Tories. End the link between access to ministers and inside tracks to public contracts.
It's another jibe.
Okay.
So it's saying, basically, if a business has an access to a minister, a minister can lobby for them to get favourable
treatment.
Oh,
like gambling and stuff.
Favourable treatment in a tender or a bid.
Yes.
It's going back to the COVID corruption commissioner.
Right, okay.
And how these contracts were awarded, because they're saying they knew people and it was because that's why they got the contracts.
Remember all that old shit that we sorted out? Labour want to drag that up.
Yeah, they really want to drag up
the Labour are dredging the economy by the sounds of things so far.
The only thing they could do.
But ending the link between access to ministers and inside tracks to public contracts, I think that it can only be a good thing, but the problem is less people will get into politics then. Because they see it as a need. Now, you can't tell me that all 600 odd of them in there are in it just for helping people.
Oh, no, definitely. And for some public of them service. Would probably be in there for themselves, obviously.
I would say most of them are. Most of them are there to make money, and they know it's a guaranteed 90 odd grand a year for sending a few emails.
It's not quite.
And smiling for a few cameras and opening a few businesses locally.
Yeah.
And listening to Sandra talk about how those damn kids won't get off her lawn.
Cutting some red tape.
Cutting some red tape. So. keeping the independent Bank of England and maintaining the 2% inflation target.
Yeah, I don't know why they brought this up. No one ever questioned whether any political party would make the Bank of England not independent.
Why would we even consider privatising that?
Well, the Bank of England is private. No. It's independent.
I mean...
What they're saying is they're not going to bring it into government control.
No, sorry, that's what I meant. Why would we even consider doing that?
I don't know. You'd have to
ask... It's better as an...
Labour... No other party has mentioned this.
You know that thing?
It wasn't ever a consideration.
You know that thing that we really, ever, really shouldn't do? We're not going to do that.
Yeah, you know that thing that nobody's ever spoken about?
You could just have not put it in.
We're not going to do that.
Promise not to raise NIC's income tax or VAT. Pretty self-explanatory. They won't go up.
However... it has been made clear.
There's no however on the end of this bullet point. You've thrown this on me, Sean.
If we did the podcast based on just bullet points.
You're extending the point now.
So they've said that they're not raising those free taxes.
Yes.
However, I would like to point out from an impartial point of view from the IFS, they've said that.
Yes, we mentioned this earlier.
They do have to. They either have to borrow more or spend. Raise taxes.
Yeah.
The way that they've specifically mentioned free taxes but haven't ruled out others. So
council tax being one of them.
Council tax is a big one. Council tax banding.
They obviously haven't put this in the manifesto or said that they're going to look at this, but the rumours are that the Labour would try and change the council tax banding, which has been in place since 1991, I think.
What was
86? It might be earlier than that. That was the last date that I remember hearing about.
That's how it's worked out. Because if you look at your council tax bill, it says your council tax band is based on the valuation of your property in 1986.
Yeah, okay.
Or the specific date in 1986.
Yes. So they're not going to put those taxes up, but be warned, other taxes that they haven't spoken about could very well be a target. Now, I have to say, I think... the Tories, in comparison, obviously they're Labour's biggest competitor. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, some people might refute that fact, but the fact remains that it is still a two-horse race. So they have been. I feel like the Tories have been quite open. Whereas that Labour have. They haven't costed this right, I feel. Like, the money needs to come from somewhere. And if the IFS is saying, the money needs to come from somewhere, where's it coming
from? Somewhere. And there's got to be a reason that they won't rule out all taxes or all the other taxes or any of the other taxes.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you remember, but a few months back when Rishi did the I've scrapped it speech.
Yeah.
You know, he's... I just feel like so far, we're halfway through the Reds so far. So far, the Tories are on top, right? None of this is jumping at me, apart from not raising income tax or the NICs or that. As an undecided voter.
Yeah.
Modernising HMRC to change the law to tackle tax avoidance. We have touched on this on other parties. Again, it's going to be a massive investment. A lot of time.
Well, it's one of those things we're already doing and we're just going to continue doing it.
Yeah. Finally, the next point, we're seeing some money come in, Sean.
We are, yeah, and this seems to be where they're funding everything from.
And this also seems to be quite a sticky point for Labour as well.
Yeah.
That on private school fees.
Yeah, so there's a few arguments here saying that while it does bring some money into the economy, or into the government purse, could also potentially increase government costs.
Yeah,
based on people who now can't afford to go to private school because of the 20% increase in costs, they would have to then go to the state schools, which, you know, that's £6,000 a year per pupil per school.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. If you've, you know, it's all well and good saying that we're going to raise all this money, but if we're going to then have to spend it on extra educational spaces.
Yeah. No, you can take that money. Put it into the state school system, but that doesn't necessarily mean the state school system is going to improve the amount of children that could be displaced because of this policy out of private and into state schools. It could put a greater strain on the school system, a greater strain than there already is. You know, the classroom sizes are huge. Labour have made a point of that the whole way through this election whenever they've spoken about education.
There's also talk about how some private schools may be forced to close. They're already running at a loss.
You know, some argument could be made by some people that maybe these private schools should absorb that 20% cost, or maybe, you know, reduce their fees by 10%, so then the burden is only 10% on the parents and 10% on the school. They do make a lot of money, these institutions, but there's a reason they make a lot of money.
You say that, but not all of them do. Not all of them make huge amounts. Some, obviously, the biggest named ones, you know, Eton College and stuff like that, they're obviously going to make lots and lots of money. But, you know, private schools aren't all about these, you know, 20 grand per term. Some of them are modestly priced, which
I went to a private school. It was my private education was state funded because my stepfather was in the forces.
And some of these schools genuinely do operate on, you know, they're paying this in and 99.9% of it is going back out.
Yeah.
In teachers' costs and building costs and everything like that, it costs to run a school. So,
and the other problem that we've got to face is the rack issue as well. We're going to be having to do in a lot of investment and rebuilding of school buildings.
There's a lot to be done around schools.
I it'll be interesting to see how that policy goes.
Yeah,
it might be a really, it could go either way. It could be a really good thing or it could be a really bad thing. The main point here is to make sure that every child has access to a decent education, and at the moment the state school system doesn't provide that.
Agreed. But another way of bringing some money in is by ending the, and I'm going to say this correctly because I saw a something on Twitter earlier, and I'll explain it in a sec. So this is ending the non-DOM status completely.
Okay.
I saw something on Twitter earlier. It was quite funny.
Traveled viewers, what does non-dom mean?
So non-dom is non-domicile, so that means they are not from this country and they earn their money while they live here. They earn their money outside of the country.
Okay. And Labour wants to end this completely.
Yeah, so at the moment the non-doms, if you are a registered non-dom, so a famous example is Rishi Sunak's, or used to be Rishi Sunak's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So she obviously lived in Britain, but she made most of her money in India from a company that she owned, or her father owned. So the money that she made in India, she didn't have to pay tax on. She did make money in the UK, and she had to pay tax on that. But any money that she earned from India,
She didn't pay tax
in the UK, she paid tax in India.
Which makes sense, because she made that money in India. She didn't make it in the UK.
That's what the non-dom status is. But obviously, Labour want to end that completely. So she would have had to pay tax in India and the UK.
Again, I have the feeling that this is going to be one of those policies that goes one way or another. It could be really good, but I have the feeling that a lot of people that are here non-dom, that probably do bring a lot in, will just go.
Yeah, because, as I said, so like Rishi Sunak's wife, while she does make most of her money abroad, she does do stuff in this country and still...
And pays taxes on those things. That was proven because they released their tax returns, didn't they?
Yes, they did. So it's one of those policies that, like you said, it could go either way.
Yeah.
It's great in concept and thought, that like the ideology behind it, but in reality, it might have a negative impact.
Yeah. Potentially. Again, one of those ones to watch to see where it goes.
It's what if.
Yeah. It's a lot of what, and that's what manifestos are effectively.
Yeah.
Final point for the Reds, introducing an industrial and skilled workers strategy. They're all about their strategies. That basically means we haven't got a plan yet. We'll wait until we're in office and then come up with a plan.
And then we'll decide what we'll do, yeah.
Yeah, which is going to cost a lot more, which means taxes are going to go up.
Yeah, but this is obviously to drive growth.
Yeah.
Which funds majority of their manifesto.
Yeah, but the problem is growth has been slow.
And the growth that they have assumed is far above what we're expecting.
I mean, maybe we're just being cynical with all of them, not just Labour. Maybe we're just being cynical. Maybe they have got a plan and these plans will work.
There is always margin of error on these calculations and their costings and their calculations that they've done. The IFS would have looked at that. So the IFS, as we know and have pointed out many times, the IFS have said they're whitewashing you. They have tax rises or spending cuts. The IFS will look at it and they'll go, well, even in it, they'll have the best case scenario projections. They'll have the worst case scenario projection. where you should go in the middle of that. Labour's probably gone far to the other one side.
Hold my beer.
I'm going to jump off this
cliff.
You know, that's where the concern with the calculations is.
I think they've all got concerns with calculations.
Definitely.
I think they all have an issue with maths, apparently.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, Labour... Not as comprehensive as I was expecting, I must admit.
It's they've gone safe.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's a key theme throughout their manifesto. They're playing things as safe as they possibly can.
What are they hiding is my question.
That's a lot of people's
question. And I think that's the question on a lot of people's minds, especially Rishi Sunak after that debate last night, because he asked him it 9 times.
And did he get an answer?
Nope.
No?
No answer.
Was his dad a toolmaker?
Fuck off. His dad a toolmaker? We know.
That was fucking mentioned.
All right.
Wasn't it?
We're nearly there, everyone.
We are.
Last one to go. Yeah. The Green Party.
The Green Party. And this one won't
take long.
No, it won't.
It's more of a... Fuck it. Let's just give them what they want, okay? We'll rattle through these, okay? And then we'll discuss.
How get these numbers?
How much money can we spend? All right, so significant investment in green economic transformation averaging $40 billion per year over the 5 years of the next parliament.
Just before we move on to the next one. Averaging.
Averaging. So it could be more. Could be less. Could be more. Introducing a carbon tax, I kind of like that one. It would be a way to help fuel climate change, growth, you know, climate helping stuff. I can't think of the word, it's in there somewhere. Bring all privatised utilities back into public ownership, wow, big spender. Introducing a tax on multimillionaires and billionaires, they'll just leave. Increase our research and development investment to $30 billion over 5 years. Good, yeah, but where's the money coming from? Task the FCA to develop targets to eliminate all equities relating to fossil fuel exploration. Again, we still need it at the moment. We can't just take all petrol and diesel cars off the road. The economy would collapse if we did that. So, Green Party, you suck. Sorry, that was a bit harsh. Look, they're not going to get into power. It's a kitchen sink manifesto for them.
And you'll notice that you've rattled through them quite quickly, but they all focus on very much green.
Yes.
They don't focus on...
They want a green economy, which is expensive.
But you have to have an economy first.
Yes.
And if you just focus on that small area and forget about the rest of the economy, you're not going to have an economy.
If you've got 3 leaks on a pipe and you fix one of them, you've still got 2 leaks.
Exactly. You know, that's... That's
and
the
while we aren't economists, and we don't claim to be,
no.
Even we can see... This would collapse the country.
You know,
this is ridiculous spending.
This puts the tax burden through the roof. Astronomical.
Isn't it a 30% tax burden?
Almost 30% tax burden.
Which would be the highest tax rate, I think, on the planet?
Oh, yeah.
Almost the highest tax rate on the planet, right?
For a democratic nation.
For a democratic nation, there you go.
Yeah.
Insane.
But it's been a... You know, the common theme throughout their entire manifesto, hasn't it? Spend as much as we possibly can. We'll invest, we'll borrow. We'll borrow it. And that, not necessarily the right way to do things.
Well, borrowing to invest while can work and can be a good thing, the problem is the interest rates and what we would pay on borrowing that money over the next however long, you know, say they got into power, it wouldn't work. It would cost us far too much more.
All parties understand that capital investment you should borrow for. You know, the building of hospitals, the Conservatives have said that would be done by, or the continuation of building those hospitals, that would be done by capital investment, so borrowing. The Labour Party have said some of it is going to be capital investment borrowing. Lib Dems, capital investment and borrowing.
Yeah.
We all understand that, but they're going beyond capital investment borrowing and they're going into day-to-day spending borrowing, which is what we can't have that, because that's why debt is at nearly 100% of GDP. And yes, it's higher in other countries. In France, it's 130%. In America, 120%. But... we're already paying nearly £8 billion in interest a year.
Which is a lot of money.
What, you know, we need to be getting that down.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. We do.
If we didn't have to pay that 8 billion on interest, what could that be invested in? The NHS, into policing, schools, you know, that's a lot of money.
Housing.
Housing, anything.
It's... Education, labour.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So it's, yeah. And they just, like the carbon tax, that would affect you and me.
Oh, massively. Unfortunately, it is a tipping scale. And while the Greens want to focus their economy massively on green, it needs to be a stepped
the thing is,
process, which is why the country's agreed to do it by, you know, they set a date.
2050.
And you know, and while it is slow progress, we simply don't have the money or the resources to do that right now. And this leads us lovely into the next episode of Manifesto Destiny of climate change.
Yes, definitely. Climate change and energy. I've grouped them together on there because some are lackluster on energy and more passionate about climate change, some are the opposite. So that I think that's going to be an interesting one. I think we're going to be talking about some figures in that one as well.
So the economy, Sean.
Yes.
I have to say I'm thoroughly underwhelmed by all of this.
Okay.
Nothing in any of the parties has jumped out at me and gone, do you know, that's great, apart from one thing, which is a carbon tax from the Green Party.
I don't think that's a great thing, though. It concerns me, that. But I understand the, you know, the ethos behind it.
Yeah. Oh, and the 8 billion for potholes from the Tories.
Oh, love that, yeah.
Labour not increasing my income tax. It will may sway me in their direction. I think reform, there's a lot there that... that we can't afford and would never happen. It would be lovely to earn 20 grand a year tax free. Sadly, though, it's never going to happen. The 4% online delivery tax, Amazon would find some kind of loophole or something to get around that, because they would probably get around it because it's a subscription based service. I imagine I can see the legal loopholes opening up already. Sean's looking
at
me.
It all depends on how they wrote the law. Yeah,
exactly. It's all open to interpretation, as we know.
Until the actual paperwork is there.
Exactly. So hopefully that wasn't too strenuous or boring for you, everyone. Thank you for sticking with us for the end of this. If you want to complain, you can send your complaints to talkingpollocks@quippenshort.com. Totally understand. Episode on the economy was never going to be all barrels of fun, but hopefully we've made it a little bit less arduous for you.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thanks for stopping by. And climate change and energy up next.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, especially with... it'll be interesting to get some viewpoints outside of politics, just to see where we are as a planet. I know that Sky News are monitoring the temperature increase of the planet, so it'll be interesting to see if we're keeping to the 1.5 degree or if any of them mention that. We will see.
Yes, we will. You'll just have to join us next time.
You certainly will. So, we will be back with another podcast. This one will be released on the 28th at 10 a.m. So if you're listening on the 28th, hi. And if you're watching a repeat, probably on Dave. or if you're listening to a repeat, you can't watch a podcast. Quite difficult to do that. So, we will leave you in peace. Thank you for listening. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, X, all the normal stuff. We will see you next time.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.